Hey, Larry, you want to come up and pray?
You're on.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. We got a small group. I know that Alan is in the line there. I got in the line and decided I couldn't wait. And is he? Okay. I've got to get out of here after a meeting. I've got a physical therapy session lined up at 2:30, so I've got to hustle to do that. You know, the things I've been through with this physical therapy has really made me appreciate physical therapy in a way I didn't the first time. And I think as we grow older, we start to appreciate some things that we didn't early on. I was telling Don, we had the kids all coming with the grandkids at the house last night, and we had our Thanksgiving deal. The girls arranged that because on Thanksgiving, some of them are at their in-laws, so it's hard to get them all together. But we enjoyed a great time there, and just remind me again of how blessed I am and how thankful I am that I have a family that can gather together that way without bickering. And I know that that is part of a lot of families getting together. There's some bickering going on. People don't even want to be relatives sometimes. And I'm just so thankful that I don't have that situation. The thing that was sort of sad is Bonnie Maddox was there without Linwood Maddox. Yeah, and this was the first Thanksgiving that she'd be going through without Linwood. You know, he passed away on the 10th of December. So this holiday time is a time that many people remember loved ones that are gone on and remember things that are from Christmas past and Thanksgiving past. I called Deborah yesterday. I was somewhere and called her, and she said, "Well, Mom's in there crying. She's on the phone. Somebody just crying." I said, "Well, you know, she's remembering." Yeah. And these holidays bring that to people. So I think it's particularly important during this time of year that we reach out a hand of gladness and appreciation, and, you know, just a happy Thanksgiving or Merry Christmas can make a difference in the way somebody's day is going. Larry Okeson, come up, if you will, and ask God's blessing on the meeting. If you got a couple of things to share, that'll be good. Now, let's see. We've got a speaker today. Santa's come to join us a month early. All right, let's welcome Larry Okeson.
I just happened to have a couple jokes in my pocket. But let's pray first for the food. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you, as Larry said, for the many, many blessings we have. All the modern conveniences, and been watching all these TV programs of the people sleeping out in the woods. And I thank you for the thermostat and the hot water and so many things that we have, Lord. Our cars that start when we turn the key on, Lord. We thank you. We pray for the President and Congress and the House of Representatives and the Senate, everybody, Lord, in the United States. We pray for the storm that's passing through some of the states that people are stranded along the road. We pray for them, dear Heavenly Father. And most of all, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that gave us the opportunity to pray directly to you. We don't have to go through a church or a priest. Lord, thank you. Thank you over and over again. We thank you for family and relatives that can meet together and provide for each other. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And this list is from Stacy Burton. The person said he didn't make it to the gym today. In fact, he hasn't made it 5 years in a row. So he decided to stop. He decided to, instead of calling his toilet the John, he would call it a gym, so he could say, "I went to the gym today."
Ooh, You know, that reminds me of how our vocabulary changes so much, especially with this internet stuff where they do it with letters instead of and expect you to understand what these letters mean. I have to get a briefing from my son occasionally on what all this stuff means because he does a lot of texting. And we're doing more and more texting because that's the way people are communicating now. As we go through that, it builds a certain amount of anxiety when you just need to talk to somebody. I listened to something last week where some of these politicians that were texting back and forth and reached a point that we just need to talk. So it's not just me that feels like that is inadequate in some situations. Some situations it's fine because it gets a message across like yes or no. You know, you can do that pretty easily with a text. As I was thinking about some things this morning, I ran across a quote that says, if you don't deal with your demons, they go into the cellar of your soul and lift weights. Amanda Palmer with the Ferris Show said that, and that ties in with the gym that Larry's talking about. However, thinking about the demons, the things that are in your mind, the things that are in your activity that you need to address, and you just put it off, those things do grow stronger. I had a situation while I was going through this recovery of a transaction that I had went into with somebody that provided some money, really, and it ends up that the security for that's being foreclosed on. So I anticipated him being outraged. And I called him yesterday, and I had all the facts. I got everything together, talked to the owner, and got all the documents. And he said, well, let me think about that. We just got to decide whether to put more money in it or not. I wasn't expecting that. So that changed my whole perspective on that thing, and now I'm putting together things that might work. And that thing was a demon, like this thing's referencing, because I was thinking, man, when I talk to Hank, he's really going to be upset about this. But it wasn't that way at all. We've done enough good things that it evidently, and you know, he knew there was a risk up front when we did the thing. As it turns out, there are many things that we go through in our mind that way, and we imagine them being a lot worse than they really are. I think that there were things in my past where I didn't seek God's direction on clarity on it. I was thinking about this morning, I talked about the direction that I got because of circumstances last week that caused me to pull back and not be involved in a venture. And I just thought about God's direction, how we get it from Scripture, how we get it from prayer, from the church, from the Holy Spirit, from other people and circumstances, how we get guidance from that. When I first started in the real estate business, I was an investor. I wasn't a licensed agent, but I was buying property and put it together. And, you know, I spent a lot of time learning the creative financing techniques, putting a lot of negotiation tactics together that would work, learning the time value of money and the importance of return on investment, all those things I was really getting up on. I really understood it all. And I reached a point where I had an opportunity to go into the real estate seminar. Those things were big. And they wanted me to do some of the teaching on it. And I was reading Scripture one day, and that Scripture let me know that if I teach people to go into debt, you know, Hines, you and I have talked about the right kind of debt. And if I taught people to go into debt like I had learned to do, to really leverage as I bought property, and the idea that you make a determination on how it's going to play out on return on investment and all that, if I stood in front of a group, I could convince them to do that thing, and they really wouldn't know what they're doing. And I remembered a scripture. In fact, that particular day, I read a scripture that said, if you teach people to do that, it's like putting a stone around your neck and throwing yourself into the water. And that made me say, no, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to have a part in teaching people how to do that. Now, Hank is a different story. My partner on this deal I'm talking about, he goes into it eyes wide open. We've done really well on some things. But that's not like teaching a group and some of them getting into it, getting in an area that they do not know. This morning, I had searched, by the way, for that scripture. Where in the world is that scripture? This morning, I read that scripture. Let me just read to you out of Matthew 18. I'm going to read about seven verses here because it's really meaningful because the disciples were saying, well, in fact, let me just start with verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever becomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That resonated with me because that was the scripture that made me turn away from the idea because that would be the same. I could equate the unlearned about the real estate investing as a little child, not knowing. And for me to do that, that resonated so much this morning because there's that scripture. I had searched through Proverbs because I thought that's probably where it was. And not until today. He goes on to say, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through who they come. That's even more. You got to be careful what we're teaching people. If it causes them to stumble, woe to us. We can't always understand what's good for somebody, but most of the time we can understand that following Jesus is good. We can understand what I talked about God's direction, being in His Word, being among His people, being in church, the idea of being in prayer, where we get God's direction. We can understand the importance of all of us recognizing that God does want to direct us. And through our relationship with Him, He will indeed direct that. He says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Praise the Lord. Here we are. Happy Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Larry. I'm Heinz Wegener, and this is the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. We met pretty much every week since 1985. The purpose is to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. We try to remain denominationally inclusive, politically neutral, and just keep the focus on Jesus. And our main speakers are always businessmen who profess Christ who are not in full-time ministry and are currently employed. And everybody here has heard that before, but I'll tell you why I say it. It's because of me. I don't ever want to lose, and Larry, I think, is in harmony with that, the vision, the main vision of what this luncheon is for. And Larry and I over the years have shared about different things and how to do different things, but we've really come back to this. And, you know, I've seen many, not many, but ministries that start out with amazing success, for lack of a better term, and then all of a sudden they die. And I think part of that is they tweak that vision that God's given them just a little bit, and 2 years later, they're not even in the same county. And so that's part of the reason I say that. I have the flyers that are the speakers. We're not going to meet 2 weeks in a row because both Christmas and January 1st come on a Wednesday. So if it's right before or right after, we usually have open mic. But since it's right on the Christmas, we figured we'll just won't meet that time. Couple other things I wanted to mention. I got a update from Ted and Greta Schelling. Ted is very sick. And Greta gave a report on their ministry. I've got that here. They just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and were hoping to take a trip, but because of Ted's health, they were not able to do that. He is home. He really likes being taken care of at home. He's also been in assisted living places, and my experience has been with my loved ones, when we put people in assisted living, even though they're getting amazing care, often it kind of takes away their passion. Yes, Alan? Schelling. Schelling. S-C-H. And if you don't remember who he is, here's a picture of him. You can... Yeah. He and Greta have a worldwide ministry. They also minister to... Anyway, I'll leave that here. The other thing I wanted to mention... Austria, yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention is last week, while I was suffering for Jesus on the beach, it's an important dynamic for me, because as soon as we get in the car and I back out of the garage at our house, I am totally disconnected. It's not like I try to make myself totally disconnected. It's just everything switches off, and it's a very, very important, restful thing for me. And the Ritz likes the money that I give them when we stay there. But anyway, but one of the things that happened is this Chick-fil-A thing came along. And, you know, Christians can be the hardest on each other. In fact, there was a song years ago that said, "Don't shoot the wounded." You know, come on, you're a believer. Don't shoot another believer because of something they said that may not have been. Anyway. And the negative stuff I heard, especially by one very high-profile person that I normally love and used to watch his TV show, but I'm not so much doing it anymore. And I was going to write him a letter, brothers. He was going to know exactly how I feel, you know what I mean? So then I'm listening to the CD, and Gary, great testimony, and Larry had a great sharing, but he said something that totally and completely changed my thinking. He quoted this quote, "You'll never experience God's purpose for your life while distracted by God's purposes for somebody else." Let me read that again. "You'll never experience God's purpose for your life while distracted by God's purpose for somebody else." And instantly that lifted. First of all, we don't need to worry about Chick-fil-A. We don't need to worry about their purpose and let it distract us from ours. Maybe they feel called to do that. Who knows? So, and if they're not 100% right, they're not doing anything illegal. But same way with this guy who made the negative comment about Chick-fil-A. And I was going to write him a good letter and email and let him know the truth and set him free. Then I thought, I don't need to set him free. I'm not going to get distracted by God's purpose for him. And so, Larry, thank you for that. This is going to be something that stays with me, and I would encourage you to think about that too, is what about somebody else's ministry is distracting you from where God has called you to go? Such a powerful thing. Thank you, Larry.
Let me say something.
Yeah, come on.
My son is the operating partner on two of their stores,
and we talked about it last night, this thing with Chick-fil-A. And he said the press got it wrong.
Right.
They emphasized the wrong thing. But Chick-fil-A has the ability to do what they want to do. I trust Chick-fil-A.
Amen.
We know Dan Cathy personally, knew Truett. We know many people in that organization, and we know who they are. They are not turning their back on anybody. It was one of those things that, they said Chick-fil-A caves in.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. In this political world, you're looking at something to fight somebody about. It's just terrible. But anyway, Caleb said, I'm not making those decisions. I'm running the stores.
Yeah.
And he's had to tell people. He had one guy pull up in his driveway one day after that, one of his neighbors, and ask him about it. He said, man, I got to go to work. All I'm doing is running a store, and I believe in Chick-fil-A and what they believe in. And he left. So anyway, I felt like it was appropriate to do that.
That's so good. Yes, thank you, Larry. So if there is something you don't like about my walk with the Lord, remember what Larry said. Don't be distracted by my... And I just erased that. Thank you. That's good. Okay. I'm going to have to... Yeah. Oh, no. Here we go. Here it is. Yeah. You'll never experience God's purpose for your life while distracted by God's purpose for somebody else. I think we're ready for ho, ho, ho.